Today's scripture, I'm going to get to James in a little bit, but today's scripture is going to come from Esther. And Esther starts with 7, 1 through 6, 9 through 10, and then 9, 20 through 22. Esther, a little background, is the queen. Esther is Jewish, and she's married to the king of Persia, which, if you do not know your geography, Persia is modern-day Iran. Now, think about that a little bit. And at this point, the vizier wants to be rid of the Jews. The entire fate of the Jewish people is now resting on Esther's shoulders, but is not on Esther's shoulders alone. Because God has empowered Esther. And Esther realizes she is not alone. And Mordecai is reminding Esther of that. Mordecai is Esther's cousin. So hear these words. So the king and Haman went into feast with Queen Esther. And on the second day, as they were drinking wine, the king again said to Esther, "What is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Even to the half of my kingdom, it shall be fulfilled." Then Queen Esther answered, "If I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to be annihilated. If we had been sold merely as slaves, men and women, I would have held my peace. For our affliction is not to be compared with the loss to the king." Then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther, "Who is he? And where is he that would presume to do this?" And Queen Esther said, "A foe and enemy, the wicked Haman." Then Haman was in terror before the king and the queen. Then said Harbona, one of the eunuchs in attendance on the king, "Moreover, the gallows which Haman has prepared for Mordecai, whose word saved the king, is standing in Haman's house, 50 cubits high." And the king said, "Hang him on that." So they hanged Haman on the gallows which he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the anger of the king abated. And Mordecai recorded these things and sent letters to all the Jews who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, enjoining them that they should keep the 14th day of the month of Adar and also the 15th day of the same year, by year, as these days on which the Jews got relief from their enemies, and as the month that they had been turned from them, from sorrow into gladness and mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, days for sending choice portions to one another and gifts to the poor. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord God, on this day, I pray that you speak through me and in spite of me. I pray, Lord God, that you open our hearts, open our minds. We worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen. That, my friends, was the end result of what had led up to that point. The threat was real. Today we call that Purim. It's still the festival that the Jewish people celebrate today. But I want you to know that there was fasting and praying that the people had done in worship of God to prepare themselves before she had gone to the king with her petition. Mordecai had spoken to Esther, sent a letter to her, reminding her that she had a unique position being married to the king. She was Jewish. She knew God. And she had been created for a time such as this. And in fact, that is where that verse comes from. And so she wrote back to Mordecai that she wanted all of the people to take 3 days of fasting and 3 days of praying. And she was going to have all of her ladies in waiting and all the people that served her do the same. And she was going to do the same. In other words, she was going to worship. They were going to worship in a particular way. And they were going to draw near to God. They were going to listen to what God would have them do. They were going to draw their strength from God so that she would be ready. She would be ready to come to the king who was ready by listening to Haman to put all the Jewish people to death. Remember that throughout the ages, that part of the world has always been tribal. They have been fighting for centuries. And yet, because God had empowered Esther, because she had been created for a time such as that, she was able to boldly go to the king. Remember, she wasn't the only queen. She wasn't the only wife. But she was able to go to the king and ask, and she received. My friends, we are created for a time such as this. And I want to read to you today's passage from James 5. James 5 comes to us starting with verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous persons has great power as it is working. Friends, we serve a God who is a supernatural God. And far too often in this day and age, we do not focus on our Lord Jesus Christ being a supernatural being, a supernatural human being. He came and did miracles here on earth. And there are still miracles that happen today. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, we have these old-timey hocus-pocus miracle, you know, oil stuff that they sold in bottles and you drank the elixir and poof, you were better. Or you had people planted in the audience and all of a sudden you kicked out their crutches and poof, they're better. But what I am saying is, you know, God likes to get the glory when God does something. I'm going to tell you a story. In 2020, just after the pandemic, I want you to know, and John knows that I'm sharing his story today. My husband was a smoker. And every year he has to go and get his lungs, a CT scan on his lungs. And this time, they picked up something below his lungs. But it was during the pandemic, and, well, pulmonologists, they were busy. I mean, it was April, for Pete's sakes. And you know what April looked like during the first month and a half during the pandemic? And since John wasn't coughing up a lung, they kind of pushed him off to the wayside. But there was definitely something that showed up in a lower quadrant. Well, we waited and waited and waited and waited because you could see the test results, but we didn't know what it was. Called the office several times, never heard a thing. Now, I'm not one to do this. Never did it before in my life, and I've never done it since. But I wrote something on Facebook after they had this wonderful advertisement for the pulmonologists. And I said it sure would be nice if we would hear back about what we saw a month and a half ago. Well, all of a sudden we got a phone call. And John got a phone call. And not only did he get a phone call, but he got a phone call from his doctor, and he got a phone call from a surgeon right away. You see, the thing that they found was on his pancreas, and it was a lesion. Well, anytime you find a lesion on a pancreas, that's bad news. More scans. And I told my doctor about it. My doctor wasn't his doctor, but my doctor all of a sudden took him on and set him up with doctors at Thomas Jefferson in Philadelphia. And we got back and forth right away.
They were even setting him up with surgery. And let me tell you, I watched Grey's Anatomy. I knew what a Whipple was right away. He was scared. People don't survive these. Race riots happened, by the way, in June, beginning of June, in Philadelphia. In our appointment, we still had to go. Everything is plyboarded up, and we're staying right downtown. And we're getting ready to find out when the surgery is going to be and how much our life is going to change. In fact, they ended up doing extra scans. And the doctors down there, they have their own formula for things. These are the people that teach other people how to do these things. But they're having problems because they had all these scans from where we were and from Pittsburgh and from everything else. We knew what it was. We already had biopsies from up where we were. But we got down there, and they couldn't find it. It was gone. Now, we didn't keep it a secret from the five churches we were serving at the time. We didn't keep it a secret from anybody. In fact, we were asking everybody for prayer. We'd been anointed. He'd been anointed. But the miracle happened nonetheless, and there's nothing but this little piece of scar tissue there. And every year he goes back and has another picture, and there's nothing there but this little line of scar tissue. And I'm saying this today because I want you to know that God's still in the business of getting glory. Why he chose my John, I don't know. Why he didn't choose other people, I don't know. But we do serve a good God. All of us serve a good God. And that doesn't mean that there aren't still heartaches out there. But I've seen other miracles. And today I'm still testifying to that one. And so today during communion, Jane Ellen's going to help by serving the bread. And I'm going to anoint anybody who wants to be anointed. And the Holy Spirit works through people. If you know somebody who needs to receive anointing that is not here and you want to have anointing done in proxy for them, I am willing to anoint you in proxy for that person too. Because God's bigger than any one of us. Praise God for that, right? So let's pray. Lord God, I thank you today. And I know that we are probably going to run a little long today. And I ask for everybody's forgiveness for that. And those of you who are watching at home today, if you, Lord, if you touch them today too, I pray that especially. that you give them a good, healthy dose of the Holy Spirit. I pray today that they feel your presence. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.